Jabba, this is your last chance. Free us or die.
This is Return of the Pod. Many boats and welcome to Return of the Pod, a podcast where we discuss and celebrate everything from the Star Wars galaxy and much, much more. Every generation is a legend, every legend is a podcast, and this is ours. I am your host, Brian Silliman. Joining me are the greatest co-hosts in the galaxy, starting with Caitlin Bush.
Hello there.
And Captain Matt Romano.
Greetings.
Our reprogrammed Imperial Interrogator droid AZ-00, also called Azu, is still out partying. He's
just
been at it
gone.
For
Took,
a week.
Taken off.
Yep.
Yep.
He's made good friends with Omid Abtahi, so they're
we're just too lame for the likes of Az over here.
You know? Yeah. He went out to La La Land and he didn't come back. You know, that's what happens.
It's LA. Nobody leaves.
So he's not joining us this week, but we are hot off of Star Wars Celebration 2023, which is always a great time, whether you were actually there or, like us, just watching the live stream at home and can't get sleep because you're still watching and can't turn it off.
Wow, is that what you were doing?
It became compulsive.
Okay, yeah.
But as is always the case, Celebration highlights the most fun parts of this fandom. This year, there was, of course, the usual running of the Wilrow hoods, which happens every year.
Yep.
But they were joined. There's another thing that happened this year, which I'm hoping will become a new tradition. There were so many groups of fans dressed as Narkeena prisoners from Andor.
I saw that.
Running around, some of them with life preservers.
Which dark.
Yeah.
Love it.
And they were just walking around, different groups walking around the celebration chanting One Way Out and just all over the place. And at one point, and Kristen Baver had a heck of an interview with Andy Serkis, and he just led all of, like, the entire room in a chant of One Way Out. And there was so much love of Andor.
Loved it.
Great behind the scenes and everything. It was really fun to see. And there was so much more, but we have a lot to cover because there were a lot of reveals and there was an episode of a show.
Would you say it was a big week for Star Wars? Would you say
it was a big week for Star Wars, gentlemen?
Get caught up in it. If you didn't have Star Wars fever,
I got a fever
before this week. Well, do in fact check for a pulse, look into a mirror and see if there's a reflection. We're recording on April 12th, 2023, and we're going to be jumping into the epic chapter 23 of The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
Woo.
But before we do that, it's time to broad stroke at ludicrous speed the huge swath of news and reveals that came out of Celebration 2023.
Everyone ready to go?
Here we go.
Let's
go to some news on the march.
News on the march.
Okay, so there's so much to talk about here, and we're planning on giving this a lot more time to breathe, talk about what we're excited about, little details here and there. This is by no means going to be the comprehensive, definitive rundown of everything that happens. So it's going to be kind of a lightning round, a big old dash through everything.
Yeah.
Do it.
And we'll see. And I'm going to do it all in one breath.
There is one way out.
One way out.
Please don't do that.
I don't think that's going to work. You're going to die.
So here we go. Here's what we got. A lot of Return of the Jedi themed panels and reveals and merchandise, as this year is, of course, the 40th anniversary. And nice. Return of the Jedi is going to be returning to theaters. I think we all should go.
I agree.
I think we should absolutely go. I agree. I was going
to
suggest
that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Great.
Yep. Star Wars Ahsoka.
You're stuck with me, Sky Guy.
Kevin Kiner will do the score. He did the music for the Clone Wars and Rebels. He created Ahsoka's theme. It's going to be great to have him scoring the whole show.
Nice.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead confirmed to play Hera Syndulla.
Do you know who I am?
Grand Admiral Thrawn will indeed be played by Lars Mikkelsen.
Odds.
Returning, voiced him in Rebels, played him in Rebels, will now be playing him in live action Grand Admiral Thrawn is Lars Mikkelsen. Ooh. Confirmed. They showed a trailer with all kinds of crazy stuff. We saw a glimpse of Ray Stevenson, happens to be an actor from HBO's Rome. We knew he was in the show. He's not playing Gar Saxon, but he's playing another orange lightsaber-wielding character. We saw what looks like the World Between Worlds. Matt, I know you were really excited about that.
So craziness. Good. So crazy. Good.
Natasha Lou Bordizzo. First look at her, real look at her as Sabine. She's really grown her hair out. She looks great in the role. She's also at one point looking at a hollow image of Ezra. Huang, the Jedi lightsaber making droid from Clone Wars. He appears in the trailer, so he's now in live action, and he is still going to be voiced by the 10th Doctor and so much more. David Tennant coming in August. Wow. And we cannot wait. Matt, hit me with the air horns. That's not all.
There's more.
The cast of Skeleton Crew came out with Jude Law.
It's a galaxy far, far away.
This show is apparently coming in 2023.
That's so soon. That's this year.
Whatever the heck this is, we'll find out about it this year. Then there's The Acolyte. The cast was there along with series master Leslie Headland. They showed something, but it's not online, but apparently it was very interesting. Daphne Keene, we know, is going to be playing some kind of Jedi and is an alien. That's one of the many little tidbits
they
had.
So freaking cool.
Of the many interesting reveals in terms of the Acolyte, Headland is now working with the High Republic Stories, and Rebecca Henderson, who is in the cast of the Acolyte, is confirmed to be playing the High Republic character, Vernestra Roe. Readers will be happy about that. This is going to be a High Republic character, one that we know from the books, transitioning into something live action. So that is amazing in and of itself. There's definitely going to be some crossover here between the Luminous authors, Leslie Headland, and that is just very, very exciting. Andor!
I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old.
Whee! The cast took a victory lap and are shooting season two right now.
Yes.
They showed something for that as well, but it's not online, but I'm sure you could find it.
You can find it if you look hard enough.
Oh, yeah. On the social
if you
media.
Look hard enough. The Bad Batch.
They call themselves the Bad Batch.
We'll return for a third and final season. We were right.
I called this. I said this.
Yep. We were right. I think a lot of people were right about
all
that.
All right, whatever. Right.
Yep, no, but we were too. One Way Out. There will be another season of Tales of the Jedi, Dave Filoni.
Yeah.
Confirmed, announced, everything. Star Wars Visions Volume 2 got a trailer, a lot of details. The directors talked about their shorts, and this is going to drop on May the 4th. Matt, air horns again.
Come on.
Less than a month.
And would you be interested in some information about new movies?
I love movies.
Let's do it.
Personally.
Nothing Taika Waititi, nothing Rian Johnson. Instead, three new things.
Some new stuff.
Yeah, one kind of new thing, and two out of nowhere things, for us at least. James Mangold, director of the upcoming Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, which they also showed a new trailer for, and I love, will direct a movie focusing on the dawn of the Jedi Order. This will be going back before the Old Republic. Lucasfilm must be happy with Indiana Jones 5.
Yes. Mm.
That's the first one. The second one, the big movie event that will tie together Mandalorian, Ahsoka, Book of Boba Fett, and more, that we'd heard about this, the crossover project. We had thought that this was going to be Disney Plus. It might also be Disney Plus, but it's also apparently going to be on the big screen. This is going to be a movie, and it's going to be directed by Dave Filoni.
Crazy.
Ooh, spicy.
And if I may, I'm going to insert a hot take right here.
Please.
Based off a line spoken in the Ahsoka trailer, might this tie-in, tie-it-all-together movie be called Heir to the Empire in homage to Timothy Zahn's book trilogy?
I would believe it. I feel like that's maybe not that hot of a take, Brian. I feel like that's perfectly reasonable.
Exactly. So I'm like, well, there's your title.
Yeah.
There's your title.
That got me all excited. But that is not it.
Come on, Brian. This is crazy.
Because get this.
I know what you're coming with, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
The biggest surprise of the entire thing, and I'm talking, senses at the ready, what the f***?
Yep.
Charmaine Obaid-Chinoy will direct a movie, a Star Wars movie, not the King's Speech 2, a Star Wars movie, that will take place after the Skywalker saga. It will be a continuation. It will feature the building of a new Jedi Order, and the building of that Jedi Order will be done by Rey, because Daisy Ridley is returning to Star Wars.
Come on.
I'm Rey. Rey Skywalker.
Vindication?
Matt, you texted me. He's like, oh, so just a little lunch at Lucasfilm?
Yeah, see? We talked about this a few weeks ago. We caught
did.
It. We saw it on our Instagram.
Lies.
And that
they
lies. Lies.
Nothing is ever just a lunch.
Never.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, Caitlin. Now I'm all...
Man, you're all... Yeah.
You're all flustered. We're all flustered. We're excited. We're excited.
That is a wish come true, and also reveal that recently married. So I'm sure she's listening right now. Congratulations,
congratulations,
Daisy Ridley.
Yeah, that's great.
Woo! I like this.
That is a wish come true. But if we're being greedy, if I'm being really greedy, and I am, hot wish... wouldn't we all love it if John Boyega co-starred in this with her?
I think it's a hot wish, but I think you're going to see it. I think that...
I hope
that,
so.
I just don't see how you don't. I don't see how we don't get... You do a movie like that without Finn. And also, may I add, maybe a little Kylo Ren Force Ghost?
A little Ben Kylo Solo Ren Force Ghost?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what... A lot. The internet was the Raylo spark.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how would you not do that?
How
would you not do that?
We've seen, we've recently reestablished Force Ghosts once again solidly in Star Wars canon for like the millionth time. Like, let's just keep at it.
Right.
If not Ben Solo, then Mark Hamill.
Mark
again
Hamill
would be nice.
Yeah.
Or
if we're talking Force Ghosts.
Why
you
not
know,
both?
I'd lay down a hot take that I'd say Hayden Christensen appearing to Ahsoka is likely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's definitely happening.
Absolutely.
You know,
could
definitely appear to Rey. I mean, last time when John Boyega was asked,
you ain't going to Disney Plus me.
So he definitely wanted a movie.
Yeah,
right. But
babe.
I'm sure that combined with he and Daisy are friends, or we got along really
get your
well.
Money. Get your money, Johnny boy. Like, hell yeah.
That and a,
let's
and
do it.
A dump truck of money wheeled up to his domicile.
A blank check.
Speaking of dump trucks full of money, you know what's going to make a dump truck full of money for this movie? Mm. Is when you got 100-year-old Grogu training with Daisy.
Yes, I was thinking the exact same thing today.
How is that not going to happen?
Yes.
That's exactly it, Matt. Because if they unite Mandalore wherever the story in Mandalorian goes, and potentially what were they doing during the sequel trilogy? Did the First Order go there? Did they have their own fight? Did they become isolationist? What happened?
Yep.
And so seeing Yoda baby on screen with Daisy Ridley and John Boyega.
Wow.
Dream come true.
Come on. Come on. Wowie. Wow. Wow. May I?
Wow.
Come on.
You want to get nuts? Come on.
Let's get real.
Let's get nuts.
Let's get nuts.
You want to get nuts?
That's a lot of nuts.
Caitlin and Bush, it's absolutely crazy. Would you agree?
It's nuts. Like, we never thought that we would see Daisy Ridley return to Star Wars. She was done with it. Rey's story was over, and now we get to see all of this happen again. We are all
the big thing clouding. As happy as we are, it's like the Mandoverse movie is very likely because we know that's planned. But in terms of these others. We're hoping that they actually happen.
Yeah.
We've had
big
announcements
crossed.
Before, but they've never gotten to casting.
That's the thing. It's when you have a now legacy character like this that you're bringing them in, you kind of have to know that it's happening. It's like 80% of the way there.
Yeah. So that I'm just so excited. And they didn't mention Taika Waititi at all, but
no.
I hope he's still in the mix. Ryan Johnson after this said his plate is so full. It's not over, but it's just on hold.
You just said
that
I like Knives Out
of this
a lot.
News.
So.
Yeah, and so do I. I like Poker Face. So I'm like, great. There is so much to unpack here. There's a lot of book and comic news as well. There was a huge High Republic panel, and the turnout for this, the pictures of the turnout for a publishing panel, was insane. It doesn't happen.
My God,
but
yes.
They packed an auditorium for this. There's a whole lot we missed, but I tell you guys, I have the fever.
I got a fever.
And one more thing. There was also a medical freighter.
Medical freighter?
Was there a medical freighter? I didn't see that.
Medical freighter.
No, but Vivian Lyra Blair had an interview and she was on a look back at Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I was like, she is brilliant. Her answers were so smart and she was off the cuff and she was funny. I'm like, her future is bright. And part of me also was like, everyone better protect this kid.
Yes. My God.
See, my favorite interview of the whole celebration was Cyril Caron talking about the his cereal. Did you see that? So Cyril talking about the cereal?
Yeah. God. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not a joke. Silly.
I wasn't there to chastise him as he ate it, but you know. No, the minute he came out with Denise Guff, I was like, oh, here we go.
Yep.
Here's something we're going to touch on in this next week's episode.
Yeah. But the behind the scenes of Andor and going into the design and how they did everything or whatever, it was
very cool.
Oh, man. I also never knew that this was going to become a thing. I remember being on set and just like having these like incredibly weird Star Wars Cocoa Pops and going like, I don't know if I can eat any more of these because I'm starting to feel really weird and jacked up and like oversugared. And then it became this kind of like awesome phenomenon that people have like loved, me included.
Very cool.
Yeah.
As was everything. Hearing Deborah Chow talk about favorite moments from Obi-Wan, it was just Doug Chang on his designs. It was just absolute madness. And we have to move on, but we're going to be touching on all of this. I think it's safe to say we're going to be talking about all of this stuff for a long time.
I'd like to do a whole episode on the orange lightsabers, honestly, in Ahsoka. Yeah.
And it is orange, right?
They're definitely orange.
Lightsabers have like a white hue, and it's like it glows the color.
It was like warm.
These lightsabers, not glowing white, you know? Yeah.
I could write an entire dissertation about the color of these lightsabers.
Yes, we should co-author this citation, whatever you call it.
I'll start a Google Doc.
Well, everyone get ready and look forward to that. Okay, well, for now, that has been News on the March. With that, we're going to charge into Chapter 23 of The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
Now, this episode is brand new, and we don't want to spoil you for any of it. We're not those people. So be warned that we're about to get into severe spoiler territory. After the spoiler klaxon is heard, spoilers will come fast five. So to sound the klaxon once again, our friend Werner Herzog.
Hey. All right.
I am in the middle of playing Hyrule Warriors in anticipation of the Breath of the Wild sequel, but I have put down my Nintendo Switch Lite once more because I would like to see the baby, so sound the spoiler klaxon and what is there, Caitlin Ambush?
There's a clear order in which to watch Star Wars The Mandalorian, Season 3, Episode 7, and then listen to our podcast.
Here we go again. Punch it!
But bounty hunting is a complicated profession.
The Mandalorian Season 3, Episode 7, premiered on Disney Plus on April 12th, 2023, directed by Rick Famuyiwa, executive producer, had a lot to say about Mandalorian in general, also at Celebration.
He did.
Left that out. Mando had a big presence there. They also showed this episode there, and I'm amazed that it went spoiler-free since then.
I cannot believe that I was not spoiled for this episode. Like, I got to commend it to the people that went to Celebration that came back.
Good on y'all.
I saw a few people trying to drop hints.
Right.
That's the price you pay for having your finger on the pulse, Matt.
I mean, that's it. How do I take my finger off the pulse? It's surgically attached to the pulse.
It's always there.
It's always there. It's there.
I don't know what to tell you.
Like clink in my mind. There. Always there. Yeah. Also, written by Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni. And just right away, I'm just going to do it. Mind blown.
Wow. Going to be a lot of those. Yep.
Because I loved this episode.
Wow. Yes. I had not watched, you guys had both watched it this morning, and I was at work and I had not had a chance to watch it this morning. Watched it when I got back from work today, and I was texting y'all and I was like, are we back on the Mando train? You guys were both like, we are back on the Mando train.
Oh,
that we were ever really off. I mean, we've enjoyed this whole season, but you spoke a few episodes ago of Forest Through the Trees.
Yes.
And seeing the big picture. And we see it now.
We see it.
Oh, yeah.
And what they're doing. And so in retrospect, see the whole season leading up to this. It's not like I didn't have a feeling, oh, where's this been the whole season? I was just like, Oh.
I was a little antsy. I was a little antsy.
Caitlin Ambush, a little antsy.
Yeah, a little antsy. There was something that I was searching for that I wasn't getting, and I think this episode, we got there, gentlemen. We knew we would. We knew we'd get there, but we got there.
You know what might have been a difference is I was happy you watched this on your television and not how you say you usually watch it on your phone on the subway.
I often watch it on my phone because I have to watch it on the train into work, and then I actually watch it on my very incredibly annoyingly large television in my living room instead.
There you go. She's got to do what she's got to do.
It's because of her personal vendetta, which is mutual with Christopher Nolan, which is why she watches Mando on her phone. But don't get us wrong, enjoying this whole season, but this episode just took it to new heights. I think took the whole show to new heights. Would you both agree?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I said this before the show started, and we'll get into it more later. But like, I see the future of Star Wars beyond Mando, and it's like, you know, of course we all kind of had an idea where things were going, but now it's like the stakes seem higher. The pieces are falling into place. You know, the world of players that they've been building across, you know, three seasons of Mando plus Book of Boba Fett.
For this to be the episode that they showed at, the planning, the timing, the arranging, this is the episode that they show at Star Wars Celebration. Mad genius level of planning.
You know what, Caitlin? And you're so right, because we talked about like why they overlapped Bad Batch with Mando and why would they like, you know, have both shows on at the same time. Honestly, it was probably out of necessity so this episode could drop the week of Star Wars Celebration.
Somewhere in the Lucasfilm campus. Right. Yeah, somewhere in Lucasfilm campus, there is a Charlie Day style like planning schedule when are we dropping things?
I can't look at that now without picturing you. And Matt, we got to do a manipulation of Caitlin's head of that being Caitlin in that scene.
Yep. I would die.
She's referenced that enough where that's who I see.
Pepe Silvia. Pepe Silvia. Who is this guy?
Who is Pepe Silvia?
Cat on the wall, eh?
Hey, all right.
Now you're talking my language.
Pepe Silvia. I look in the mail. Well, this whole box is Pepe Silvia.
Anyway, we had Mando fever before, but my Mando fever is reaching critical levels.
Hell yeah.
I've got the fever.
Fever.
You were wearing gold-plated diapers, my friend. Let me say that.
Say it, baby.
Say it, baby.
And the only thing.
The only prescription.
The only prescription.
Is yet more Mando next week.
And more 30-year-old SNL references or however old this is. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, because we wouldn't want to break from what we usually do.
Why would we be modern?
Cue the Merv Griffin music. Okay, let's get into what actually happened in the episode. On Coruscant, that's right. These couple months of Star Wars, more Coruscant.
Yes. Full Blade Runner level, too. Full Blade Runner Coruscant.
Oh, the opening with this where we meet up with Ilya Kane is walking in a long coat down a corridor.
God,
it was the most Blade Runner shot.
She's so fucking cool.
In all, she really is.
Oh,
Katie O'Brien.
God.
Damn cool.
God, she's so fucking cool.
So she meets, she goes, you know, in an alley, fresh off possibly torturing and scrambling the mind of Penn Pershing a couple chapters ago. Mm-hmm. She goes into an alley and meets with an Imperial probe droid and speaks with a hollow of Moff Gideon. And I think we were also talking about this before we started recording. The return of Giancarlo Esposito, I think, is a big reason of why this episode immediately stood out.
Mm-hmm. He's an all-time Star Wars villain, honestly.
He is. He adds something to this that is, I look at him, I look at Giancarlo, I looked at him at Celebration, I look at him in this, and I just want to look him in the eyes and say, you have something I want.
There we go.
And I will never get it, because you try and beat Giancarlo Esposito, you will fail. Trust me, I know. He's making his return to Mando after regrouping and escaping Tribunal. We kind of get probable answers to why he was in a abandoned shuttle with Beskar on it, too, don't we, Matt?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, finally. And we kind of danced around this and speculated this, you know.
You did, really.
Yeah. Well, you know.
You were closer to it than
we got an answer this week.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, we got the answer.
We got the answer. We were close. We knew something was up with the Beskar, you know.
Yeah, it's because that's what they say. It's like, well, Beskar, it's Beskar. You know. It's something up with this.
Chekhov's Beskar.
And we heard that and repeated it. So it's all thanks to us.
Yeah.
Okay, we're barely into the episode. He is Moff Gideon. To be blunt, he is in every way Caitlin Ambush, remind me of the phrase, if you don't very much mind.
Moff Gideon is a messy bitch who loves drama.
Thank you, Caitlin Ambush. She updates him on the failures of the pirates so that the pirates may have been on their payroll. We don't know that yet. And then we cut to Gideon in the flesh on board in a base or on board some kind of starship. We don't know yet. We
very
kind of
find imperial out. Looking.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very imperial and very the red doors from Duel of the Fates.
Yeah, I like that.
Not happy to have just one. He
Anyone
has like
else
10.
Have traumatic flashbacks? Because I sure did.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just want to sit down and meditate in front of that.
Yep. Seems like a little reason. Overkill, though, honestly.
Well,
you know.
Matt, why have just one when you can have 15?
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
You're right, though. The rule with those red laser doors from Duel of the Fates is, in terms of how many you should have, is...
never more than 12.
Yeah, that's true. Good. That's true.
That's the rule.
Yeah, that's the rule. Yep.
So he's got new troopers all around him, and we'll find out later these are his new kind of dark troopers. These are people inside with armor made of Beskar alloy. So he's continuing to take the parts of Mandalorian society he likes and throw away the rest, which is pretty much the people. It's like, yes. I like the armor. Oof. The planet's kind of fine. I'm going to take that. Everyone else,
so many
off.
Levels to it.
It really
so
is some cultural appropriation on another level here.
There's nothing but disdain so for them, too. When he talks later, he's like, you know, you all suck, but one thing you're good
but
at
really
is this.
Really is.
So I'm going to take that. And he himself will find, he is now clad in Beskar, in a
oh,
new
yes.
kind of Beskar armor, and is playing Mando dress up.
Yeah, he is Iron Man. Honestly,
he is Iron Man.
I mean, take away his toys, take away his stuff, and what is he? A messy bitch who loves drama.
Who loves drama?
So he goes into another room and he meets with the Shadow Council, making their live action debut after being a crucial part. Once again, the Aftermath novels by Chuck Wendig is the well that these shows keep returning to. First Cobb Vanth,
Chuck Wendig.
Then a number of other, and now so much from Book of Boba Fett, and now this, the Shadow Council. They mention the return of Thrawn, as well as cloning, a project called Necromancer, if that's not about Palpatine's resurrection, then Alita Hat. They ask about Pershing. They mention Gideon's own cloning work on Navarro. Gideon says the Mandos are a problem. Once again, they are planning to retake Mandalore. They grant him additional aid in the form of more ships, which means interceptors and bombers. So those interceptors that bombed Bo-Katan's castle in Kalevala.
Yep.
Almost certainly from Moff Gideon. And he asked for some Praetorian guards. And they begrudgingly grant them. Get the feeling that Gideon doesn't like Thrawn very much and doesn't like that Thrawn's about to come in. And I would bet my biscuits that it's one-sided because Thrawn, in all likelihood, has no
doesn't
idea
even
who this guy
know
is.
Who he is. It's no. A,
Gideon's
no.
like, I hate you. Yeah. And he's like, I don't know who you are.
Who are you, you small bug man?
Yeah. I don't even know who you are.
Well, when I was saying before about like seeing the future of Star Wars, you really see it like in this scene because you have all these like, you know, these warlords that are like they're trying to look like they're not working together, but they are. And then even internally, they're all vying for their own power in this power vacuum. And you can almost tell by like their uniforms. They're all wearing like different flair. They got different attitudes. And you get the feeling that like Moff Gideon and Thrawn are going to throw down at some point. There's going to be an internal struggle here.
And Gideon's going to lose.
And Gideon's going to absolutely lose. Yeah, because Thrawn has to win, right? But there's no way he's going to bend the knee to Thrawn. You know, there's a,
no,
I don't know.
No, like, of course not. The great thing about messy bitch Moff is that he thinks it's like, yeah, I can take on Thrawn. It's like, no, you can't.
Babe.
Exactly. No. We've got a complicated situation brewing in this room.
With the promise of drama.
With the promise of drama.
But just
and
babe,
especially,
babe.
But yeah. Caitlin and Bush, Matt Romano, don't worry. New Republic's on it.
Oh, thank God. Oh,
right.
Thank
they got,
God.
They're strapping up their white boots.
Yeah.
And they're going out there.
I'm sure Tim Meadows is locking and loading right now.
I'm ready for the show. I got through my Cavatier cognac. And my scented candles.
Thank goodness.
It's I'm like, somebody call Carson Teva, Ahsoka Tano, and Luke Skywalker.
They could handle this. They could handle
we're
this.
We're going to get to that.
Play them a tape. We'll of, please play them a tape of this scene.
Yes.
Anyway, we know actually who some of these characters are on the Shadow Council and what their deal is, but we're going to get to that in a little bit. I'm going to tell you all about it. With a grand pronouncement from the Moff.
Long live the
Long live the Empire!
We cut to title, chapter 23, The Spies.
We knew we were in for something special after that, y'all. That's
good. Oh, I love this title. Yeah. I love good. This title.
If they had just cut to the end credits there, I would have been fine.
I would have been happy with it.
They go right from that to that. Yeah, that would have been good.
No notes.
No notes. Great episode.
4-minute episode. Done.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, you know, Giancarlo doesn't write to me asking for notes all that much.
Doesn't he?
No, he
really?
Doesn't.
He doesn't.
He's not that interested, in my opinion.
That's so strange.
Okay, understood.
Yeah. I would, you know, he's going to destroy the New Republic. He's not going to build another Los Boyos Hermanos. Okay, moving on. The assembled Mando fleet arrives on Navarro, and the Night Owls come together with the Children of the Watch. So here's
Love
these
this.
Two groups coming together for the first time, and it is fraught with tension, to say the least. But the armorer welcomes them. And she says, we're going to prepare a feast. And I couldn't help but thinking, okay, you're going to have a feast. Are there like 30 little places where all the members of the Children of the Watch are going to go with their food or in shifts to go and eat in secret? Like what kind of, it's like, and now the meal is done and 30 people just get up and leave.
I immediately thought like how creepy it was going to be with like, they make this big meal and then they just watch the Night Owls.
Which immediately
it.
Night Owls are going to be like, so it's poisoned, right? So it's poisoned, right?
It's like, yeah,
right.
Can I go and eat? It's like, no, those two are already gone. It's like, and there's only a couple yeah. hidey holes here in Navarro. It's the oh the flats, you know, it's rough. All right. Well, I'm hungry. We'll just
I will say a small yeah. personal aside. My wonderful uncle texted me yesterday, and him and my cousin are finally watching Mando for the first time, all the way through.
Oh,
all
right, there you go.
My Ooh. Uncle Colin texted me, and he goes, so what do they? How do they eat? He was like, I don't understand. Can you explain to me how do they eat? And I was like, well, you know, they go somewhere where someone can't see them, or like, you know, they do a weird little like. Lift of the
yeah, a lot of mashing, you can just
yeah,
see the lips a little
and, like,
bit.
Like you do
know?
A weird yeah, little yeah. sip every once in a while. And he was yeah, like, "Okay, yeah, thank yeah. you for that." And then he texted me like 2 hours later. He was like, "They explained it in the next episode. Thank you very much."
And you're like, "I know,
but
welcome
but,
to 3 years ago."
You were like, "I am the host of a semi-popular podcast about Star Wars." Yeah.
It's like, hope your 2019's going well. By the way, invest in masks. Blenders and straws are the friends of the Mando, yeah. So Greef Karga comes by and tells Mando he has something for him and takes him to his office. What is it? Of course, it's the reprogrammed IG-11, now IG-12. And the Anzalans, they got around the memory core problem by just inserting themselves Krang style.
At last, I can conquer my home dimension.
Into the stomach of IG-12, and they control it. Karga immediately wants to put Grogu in this thing. Mando is against it.
Grogu is too young to operate heavy machinery. Maybe when he's older.
No.
Oh, my God.
Grogu ends up in the IG port anyway, and now he's in control of it, and Yoda Baby has gone full Krang.
He has opinions.
He has opinions.
Matt
Romano, unpack.
We get a mind blown.
Yes.
Mind blown before I unpack
yes.
this. Mind blown.
Please.
Okay. And first, let me start here, because a few weeks ago we were talking about how, like, you know, the Grogu, the Yoda baby, the baby Yoda, was going to get, like, some Mando armor and get a helmet, you know, at the end of the season.
Yeah, I believe you've talked about that before.
Yes.
Once
right.
or twice.
And honestly, my speculation goes beyond story. It goes for a need for new Grogu merchandising, because they put this character in as much as things as
That's
they
exactly
could do.
Exactly what
right?
they're hoping you'd say. They're in a boardroom. It's like, we want to make these people say we want more things for the baby to wear. We want more accessories for the baby. So
more accessories
hey,
for the baby.
Droid, shove them in there. We got another toy. It's going to be a hit. Come on.
Can I get a merchandising?
Merchandising.
Merchandising.
Merchandising. Merchandising.
You cannot tell me that they developed this character without thinking that we are going to sell so much IG-12 merchandising, because also let's take it another step. It's not just about like Grogu
Wait,
being
step?
In the robot, which is
another
awesome.
Step?
Let's take it another
oh.
step, because I know you're going to get to this, but its ability to say yes and no makes it like the ultimate children's toy. Okay.
Ultimate children's toy that would annoy the hell out of me on a long car ride.
Exactly. And it annoys the hell out of Din Djarin in a second. We're going to get
yeah.
there. You know, but it's just, I think this is the perfectly assembled, like, it's great for the story. They're going to sell a ton of toys. The Lego set is coming. Put your money down. Put your squishy Mon Cal money on it.
I don't feel like you're saying this out of a cynicism. You're saying this. You're happy about this. You want this.
I think this is fantastic. I don't think there is Star Wars without the merchandising. They go hand in hand. This is beautiful.
That's how Empire Strikes Back happened.
It's how George Lucas wanted it, ladies and gentlemen.
That's how I want it. That's
it
how
all
I
rhymes,
it.
Baby.
How I wanted it there. So stick the baby, whatever, inside the droid.
Exactly, George. Put the baby
and
in
now
a
we have IG-12.
IG-12, and as great. Matt said, yes, it has little control. Did you notice the little control balls he uses?
Looks exactly like the things that he had in the yes. Yeah.
Yeah, the little ball that he
little
and
silver ball that Grogu was Mando obsessed with earlier. Yeah.
The ball of bonding.
The ball of bonding.
Which we haven't seen much.
I love it.
You know, you can't go and buy that, but I guess if you want that, Matt, I can just go and get you a metal ball.
I mean, you could, but I'd rather have the IG-12 with the talking yes and no buttons.
A large enough one that Matt can sit in it like a papoose.
Yes. Like a papoose.
like a tiny baby kangaroo.
Oh, okay, well, that's gonna take me some time. I got a full mug-making kiln going on here. You got to give me some time. Okay, man, the entitlement over here. Yes, as Matt already said, it can now say yes and no. And baby really likes walking around with it. He said he just likes saying no. And then he just walks around and goes on a spree of just saying one word over and over again.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
And I just got to say one last thing. It just solves a lot of problems, too, because, you know, you can't have Grogu just like walking around on the battlefield. Now it gives him like a weapon. It's fun. It's great.
He's got
it's
armor
fun to look at. It's so much
He's
fun.
Living in a Pacific Rim universe wherein he is piloting his own Jaeger.
That's a good take.
Incredible. Exactly. Yeah, it's a good take. I also like the Krang reference.
Oh, it's totally. Yeah. This is last time we had a chance, I missed the Krang reference. I'm not going to miss it this time.
Good.
No.
When he was just walking down the street saying yes over and over again, I was saying the same thing. I was just like, yes, yes.
I could have used an entire
30-minute
long episode of just the Yoda baby discovering his new powers to say yes or no.
It sums up the entire episode for me, because the whole time I'm sitting, the whole whatever the runtime was, I was just like, yes.
And I got to say, just cheers to the writers or the director, whoever made the decision to like, comedic timing is tough, especially when you're doing a joke where you're being repetitive. You know, it is. You know, because you could be annoying, you could be funny, and they did like it was at the perfect point in the episode. I was like, this is getting annoying, and then it was
and
funny
then
again. You know,
you
like,
kind of like they rode that line very well. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Yes.
They rode that line very well. I enjoy everything about IG. Yes.
Comedy can come in twos, it can come in threes, it can also come in my favorite 278s.
There we go. Has someone counted means, the amount of yeses that Grogu said? I imagine there's some
version.
Doing
yes
that sounds like a wonderful
yes
counter. Yes, Kaylin and Bush, would you like to take on that project? I'm going to guess no.
I'm going to go with no. I will challenge
someone.
That's
going to be our next big reel.
I would challenge someone to do it for me.
Why are you looking at me? I don't know if you're looking at Brian or me.
She's looking at you.
Okay.
That I'm sounds looking like at a Matt whoever's willing to do it.
Yeah. It's Charlie work. Okay. No, I'm sorry, Matt. That
get Max
wrong.
To do it. It'll be fun.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
There you go.
It's learning to count and all that crap. The yeses and nos are voiced by Taika Waititi, who is credited in the credits at the end. So here's why the answer to the IG-11 resurrection and why it was introduced in the season premiere, kind of in a ham-fisted way, but we got there, and I'm happy with the results.
I'll take it. I'm very pleased with how that worked out. Yep. Thank you.
And it turns out for this episode, necessary. It was a, you know, he needs an IG Krang droid body. So Bo-Katan, Katie Sackhoff, just again, owning this episode, right?
Yeah. I would just like I know we've had a couple already, but can I get a mind blown once again for Katie Sackhoff's interpretation into the live action Bo-Katan, because it's seamless between the two. There's no difference whatsoever. It's incredible.
I love her so much.
She's
and that's
amazing.
All I can, I don't know what else to say. It's like, well, it's one of those takes that it's like the Empire sucks. It's just like I have
Katie
nothing intelligent
is and always will
say.
Be Bo-Katan Kryze in every way. Yeah.
About her in this part. It's just, I love her. That's all I have to say. And as always, what do you hear, Starbuck?
Nothing but the rain.
So she lays out the plan back at camp. When they get to Mandalore, she will lead a group of Mandos to create a perimeter while the fighters fly into the superstructure and attempt to knock out the... Whoops. Nope. Not that one.
Close.
After they secure it, they'll bring everyone else down. What could be there on Mandalore? There's talk of hidden slumbering creatures and who else knows what. So we were getting into this last week, taking back Mandalore from what, who, holding it. We get all those answers this week. It's much more complicated than just flying an N1, checking the air, taking a dip and busting back out.
Yeah, I guess so.
One spider weird droid thing is, that's just the tip of the iceberg of the weirdness happening.
Sure.
She asks for volunteers for this initial landing party. Din Djarin is first to step up and say that he'll go. He just says Grogu will go too.
Grogu's like, yeah, sure, whatever. Man. I got my new my Jaeger. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, he's like, news to me, but yeah, okay.
Sure, Dad.
No, it's a classic Star Wars. I'm with you too.
Yeah,
it is. Everybody it's is like it. Instead, it's like, oh, and yes, he's also coming.
By the way,
this guy is definitely going to die. You haven't met this guy yet. He's probably going to die in the next
scene. That's exactly what happens, because we got Axe Wolves, Koska Reeves, Paz Vizsla, the armorer herself, and in between some of those, a whole lot of red shirt Mandos that are just food for powder.
Red shirt Mandos. Exactly. Yes, correct. Yep. Good.
Red helmeted Mandos.
Yep. Orange helmet judge. I didn't see them, though.
No, I was very shocked that the orange helmeted Mando didn't raise his hand for the scene. My favorite Mando was like, no, I'm staying. I'm the judge. I work here.
Were they in the scene?
He was. He knew he was absolutely in the scene. He was in the crowd. I was watching. But because he's the teacher, I think he stays behind. You know, he doesn't necessarily
looks after the children.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I get a teacher vibe from listen, don't you dare say anything about orange helmeted Mando, okay?
Are
you saying he's not brave?
No, I don't want to take any of your joy away about the orange helmet Mando.
Okay, all right, just chill out, all right, man?
I'm perfectly calm. Calmer than you are.
I'm calm.
Calmer than you are.
I'm calm. He's got a bent scope. He's been in some shit, Brian. I don't know.
I'm staying.
Okay.
I'm finishing my coffee.
Moving on. I'm finishing my coffee.
Enjoying my coffee too.
Yeah, all right.
All right, they arrive on Mandalore, and we see the effect the sight of it has on the Night Owls, because they were there during the Night of a Thousand Tears happened, possibly the Purge. And you can see, even with the helmets on, the turmoil and the memories flooding back. Din Djarin and the Children of the Watch were on Concordia, if we remember. So we see Din Djarin just taking this in as he looks at them, looking at the planet, remembering. It's really a loaded moment and very sad, but quite beautiful as well. The group lands in and around Sundari, and soon a giant skiff boat sails in.
So
that's
cool.
Right, Matt. Another boat. Hit me, please. With boats and Mando.
Mando. Mando.
Gotta have me, my boat.
Mando. 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 Mando.
First of all, I feel like I just like, can I get a round of applause? Okay. Thank you.
For what?
Okay.
You?
For boats in Star Wars.
Because let me just say, this is exactly what I was talking about all those many moons ago when we first talked about boats in Star Wars. We've seen a few boats here and there. We saw a boat in season 2. We saw a boat in Bad Batch, but I was like, you know what? That's not the boat I'm talking about.
Was this the boat you were talking about?
This was the f***ing boat that I was talking about.
It's more of like a ski boat.
You know, because it's not really on water, but that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like, what is the Star Wars boat? Yeah. You know, it's like, I couldn't really conceptualize it
right.
until
this
I saw
about,
it.
This is
you
a
know?
Cross to me about with three things. It was a cross like the raggedy fishing walker that they turned the tank into in Rebels that Rex Gregor.
That's definitely, you can tell that that's definitely like the origin. Like, that's the...
Boat inspired.
Yes.
A classic raggedy, just pirate ship. And then Batman's sewer ski boat from Batman Returns.
Yeah, good reference. Good
that
reference.
That thing that he uses once and gets destroyed.
Yeah, but no, but totally. But this boat, like this thing has sails. It's crickety. It's got a deck.
It's got a crow's nest.
It's got a crow's nest. Like somebody's going to, at any second, it's going to be like, iceberg, dead ahead, you know, at any moment.
Land ho!
You know,
land ho!
That's what I'm talking about. Like, and all these Mandos on the boat, they're wearing like, you know, scarves and stuff. This is what I'm talking about. And my favorite part, the first line that you hear from this boat, which I feel like was written for me. This whole scene was like, you know what?
Yep.
This is for Matt Romano on Return of the Pod. First line is,
do you have food?
Do you have any food?
Yes.
Fan delicious. Fantastic.
Incredible.
And fan-delicious.
May I add?
Yes, Caitlin and Bush, please.
The captain of this ship is Charles Parnell, who is one of the stars of Top Gun Maverick.
Yes! Oh my God!
He is Warlock in Top Gun Maverick.
Oh my God. I'm dead. I've died.
Okay, perfect. Matt actually,
don't check my Instagram. Don't check my Twitter.
Matt
I'm dead.
Actually just died.
I'm
You're
dying.
Hearing residual vocal energy.
Oh, oh man. God.
Okay, I'm one with the force. The force.
All right, moving on.
So
moving
happy.
On. I'm sorry.
Anyway.
With me. Caitlin. Oh, I'm.
It was.
I'm
so
feeling
good.
Things.
I've seen it. I get it.
Okay.
So good. Anyway,
it's also this boat has a little in common with the skiff boat in Avatar: Way of Water, but I know neither of you.
No. I feel like I'm in the Matrix. This is for me. I'm Neo.
This is
the story.
Everything.
I can see it all. The boat.
Is this a
fever dream? Am I awake?
Is this the world between
Caitlin,
worlds?
Caitlin Bush, Matt Romano. I have to be honest right now. I don't know what's happening.
I know. I'm broken. I'm sorry.
I don't think we know either.
I don't have any idea what's going on right now.
The boat broke me. I'm sorry. No, we're moving
both
on.
Both of you have had just,
moving on.
I don't know what's going on. So we get a call from the crow's nest. These scrapping survivors on board this Mando boat, this Mando ship of dreams. They recognize Bo-Katan. They're like, hey, is that Bo-Katan out there?
Yeah, that was also great. Yeah,
they see the Night Owl
voice.
Sigil. It's like, well, who else but Bo-Katan? And they just come ragging out. So everybody climbs aboard, and now they're all just, now they're all driving the bus. And they all just get to know these Mandos who have just been scrapping out a living here on the surface. Must not have been a really fun time, but maybe, I don't know, maybe they had a deck of cards. I don't know. You always should have one.
Yeah.
There's talk about how Mandalore had to be made an example of by the Empire because they never surrendered. And this is Night Owls. We got Children of the Watch and the Survivors all talking about this. Bo corrects this. Turns out she did surrender to Moff Gideon and the ISB after the Night of 1,000 Tears. This was in order to save her people and prevent the purge. Moff Gideon betrayed her, took the Darksaber, and then he had the purge happen anyway.
Continue with the operation. You may fire when ready.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Dark.
Yeah, and the armorer adds in a bit here that's very curious, saying that someone asked about Death Watch, and she says Death Watch was on Concordia, but split into factions. And Bo has a real great line here that was one of the highlights of the episode.
It is always our own division that destroys us.
And she's right. It's unity is one thing that to survive, they're going to need. And a little more thoughts on pontificating about the Death Watch talk in a minute. Mm-hmm. But Matt, I want to ask you a question.
Hit me.
And I don't mean to, again, I shouldn't even say this based off the cross franchising that just happened.
Oh my God.
We were talking about Pirates, Batman, Top Gun.
Krang. I can go on.
It was great. We did a good job.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
But more than anything else, and I'm not saying that they reminded me of this or the others reminded me of Mando's, but with all the talk of, you know, once a duel starts, it has to play out, you know, dueling with older weapons, mm-hmm. honor.
Ponfar.
Yet a lot of
Ponfar.
Division and dividing factions and all that, even though they're supposed to be honorable and unity. They've got some Klingon going on here, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, no, it's... Because they're all the society is all about honor and loyalty. Yet behind the scenes, there's huge corruption going on.
Yes.
So for every character like Worf or Martok, you have a Gowron.
Doris.
And if you're not a Star Trek fan, you'll have no idea what we're talking about. But
put it in different context, because I think I had a similar thought, but just went with a different franchise. Mm. And I said this a few weeks ago, but everything about this feels very Game of Thrones. Like, we just stumbled upon the Iron Islands, you know, and like now we see the boat Mandos, you know, because between the Covert of Many Colors, the blue helmeted Mandos, these guys, the bat baby birds, the you know,
the baby birds,
storming castles, Ragnar, whatever his name is.
You just threw that in.
I threw him in.
No, it's you're right. And I think both of those things kind of it's all taking from each other, because this is, while this is the first, you know, live action show where we're seeing Mandalorian stories and this notion of their culture have been books and comics about
legends
and everything for a long time.
It's not like they're taking from the other.
This is borrowing things from Old Republic, the Karen Travis novels, everything. And the Mandoa, this has been going on for a while. So it's not just they're cribbing this from other things. They're taking it from long, but it just reminded me of and you're right, it does with, you know, they say, oh, we're about, and some of them are, but then it's the thing that's going to destroy them is themselves.
Yes.
And that is a very potent message right now.
for the now.
Yeah. Another sadly applicable thing. Mm-hmm. Mando has a really nice scene with Bo-Katan here about rebuilding. And they don't really follow, he says, they don't follow you because of the Darksaber. It's your character and leadership. And then he himself says he'll follow her to whatever end.
Your song is not yet written. I will serve you until it is.
Caitlin and Bush, thoughts on this little scene?
Mando pledges his allegiance to Bo-Katan. That's really fucking cool. Besties for the resties, you know, like they're truly like, what a duo. Honestly, I think they could take over the entire galaxy if they really wanted to, but they're both too honorable for that.
Mm-hmm. A few of our listeners have dubbed it's a shipping name. It could not necessarily romantic, but a friendship, you know, it could
name,
be.
Yeah.
But they're saying that they have coined it Dinbo.
I love that.
I like
that.
We've trademark
Return of the Pod. That's
just
great.
To talk about Din being a bimbo before. And bless him, when he gets into the scraps later on, he dishes it out.
Absolutely. Hey,
he's passionate. He's a passionate guy, man.
Again, awful with the light Darksaber. Great with his blaster.
Everything else he holds his goddamn own.
Yeah, just as get long that
as
man
he can. As
handband,
long as he
please.
Can.
Yeah. So the survivors say, you know what's great? We can take you right to the Great Forge, which is where the whole gold destination is. The armorer then takes the survivors that are too weak, and she says, I'll take them on a gauntlet back up to the fleet.
Suspicious.
What a good time to get out of here.
Don't be suspicious. Stan.
The Forge. It's only like the place that she's been dreaming about her entire life.
It's literally her entire thing is that she has
the Forge, but the Great Forge.
Yeah, get out
of here. I didn't know it was great. I'm going to stay.
No, all of a sudden she's like, I'm gonna be the healer. I'm gonna take all of them back to the ship to make sure they get the attention that they need.
I hope I'm wrong. I don't think we're wrong. But
I don't want Emily Swallow's character to be not evil, but you know, a little shady. But I think she's shady.
Spies.
Who's the spies?
Who are the spies? Tell me. I want to know. Who the spies are.
In no time, a board game between Paz and Axe devolves into a full-on duel. It was only a matter of time, and I like the little detail here. We get a really good look at vibroblades.
Yeah.
And
this sounds like such a stupid detail, but
I love vibroblades, man.
They're really vibrating.
I think they're cool.
Do you not know that?
Like it's like it's
always kind of looked like.
I always see vibroblades as very like novel based and very like legends based too. Such a thing. So like to see them so prominent in live action is very cool.
I mean, I don't remember having seen them so close up and actually vibrating.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
And in a very Dune like way.
Yeah.
You got a good look at him in last season when Din Djarin fought Paz on the space station in the space
this
ring.
This is correct.
You
know? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you got a good look at him.
In Boba Fett.
Yeah,
that
right.
Wasn't Boba Fett.
No, I mean
in Mando 2.5.
Yeah. I understand the confusion.
Mando 2.5.
Right.
I love it all, but that's still just weird.
It's still weird. It's still weird.
Someday we'll get that story. Someday we'll take Dave Filoni out to dinner.
Celebration 2035. Old man Dave's going to be a little bit taller.
Let me buy you a drink, Dave. Tell me your story.
And while we're at it, who's BJ Hughes? and let's remember, while we're at it, remember that vibroblades, knives are the whole reason we got the Darksaber in the first place. Because that original Darksaber appearance in season two of The Clone Wars was going to be a lightsaber versus a vibroblade. George Lucas said, no, nothing can deflect a lightsaber except a lightsaber. So they created the, that's why they created the Darksaber in the first place.
Good on you, George.
And look what happened.
I like that.
Respecting your own canon.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, except now they've said it's like, except Beskar.
Except Beskar. Beskar.
Yeah, and those little flippy things they got in Force Awakens that like the traitor guy has.
Traitor!
You know that guy?
Traitor! Oh, yeah. No, I gotcha. Liking it. Yes. So, as I said, they duel, and this duel, it's cool. It's a cool duel, but the duel is stopped by Baby 12. Who just puts
Baby 12
baby arms out and just says, that's it. And they respect it. They're like, oh, okay. And they just stop the duel.
I loved this.
Listen, I love that. I mean, this might be one of my favorite moments in the entire series.
Yeah.
You know?
Stopping the duel. Because Bo is
stopping
like,
the duel?
This was bound to happen at some point. And at least it's like, the only way for this to end is for one of them to finish. But nope. Or Baby in a crank suit puts his arms out and stops them.
Hey, Brian, and you know what? And Caitlin, that's why he's the Mandalorian. That's why Grogu is the Mandalorian.
I get it.
And that is a perfect segue, Matt Romano, to go into our lovely and famous segment, Moments with Baby.
Yes.
Bad baby. Oh, bad baby.
Sorry about that. He's young.
Yeah, bad baby.
Obviously, Baby going full Krang is a huge moment, and his new ability to say yes and no is also a big deal. He immediately uses this droid suit in the marketplace to eat as much as he can.
Oh my God.
Without paying for it.
And his dad is horrified. He's so embarrassed.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
And he also he just grabs a Meiluron at one point.
Yeah, Meiluron. Meiluron.
And he just squishes it. So
he wasted the Meiluron.
He just is like, I'm just going to ruin this.
Yeah.
Nobody gets it. That's how he's when he talks. That's how he's
eventually going to talk. And Mondo still pays for it. Because you break it, you buy it.
Just like Obi-Wan paid for the gloves, Mondo pays for the Meiluron. Famous phrase.
That's what you do.
So he also, as we just said, he stops the Axe and Paz fight.
You taught your apprentice well.
You didn't learn that from me.
And I'm wondering who he's referring to here. Do we think he means that Grogu learned that from Luke? Who were we thinking?
I think he's saying that he learned it from Luke because specifically Bo-Katan refers to Mando as being his mentor, his master, you know, and it was all very reminiscent of Jedi, of that whole culture. And so I'm very much getting he learned it from this weird space wizard who kidnapped him for a while and then taught him how to jump really good. Like, yeah, cool.
Somebody else comes in and is like, I'm sorry, did you just call Luke Skywalker weird?
I mean, yeah,
he's a legend.
Luke Skywalker is really weird and I love him for it, but like, he's weird.
That's true. He is weird. Nutty he is.
Sorry. I hope that's what that Din was thinking of Luke, but like, I almost think that like, because Din is a little bit of a Dinbo sometimes. He wasn't even thinking of Luke. He's like, he was being honest when he's like, I don't know who taught him.
I don't know. Yeah, that's also fair. That's a fair assessment.
Could have been anyone.
Dinbo, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, he's just like, I don't know who taught him. It wasn't me. I would have killed one of them.
Moff
but,
Gideon.
Yeah.
I just you know, said
Max
the
Rebo.
Thing. He has a Din Djarin. It's this habit of Din Djarin says things that are so dumb that it sounds wise.
Yeah. Well, he's honest. He's like, he didn't learn it from me.
He's so simple.
He it's not like he didn't learn it from me, so I don't fucking know. It's like,
you know, make like a Friends reference, but he has like Joey energy.
How you doing?
We're like, he's like says things that are
Joey.
That are so Joey's the best character.
Yeah.
Shout out to listener Brett Miller, who plays the role of Joey in the Friends musical on stage now.
Incredible.
Wow, that's amazing.
But I think that's all he said was he didn't learn that from me. I think that's a you're going a little too far.
All right, maybe,
I'm definitely going too far.
I'm
but
talking
like,
directly
that's what
to Caitlin Embush.
Oh, sorry. No, I fully am going too far, but I'm taking it. I'm running with it. We're sprinting.
That's true. That's right. It's like I'm so confused as to where what we have been doing. any other moments with Baby that I'm missing out on?
One other Baby moment. Ooh. When
give it to me.
When the Babu Frick guy, because I can't pronounce their
yes.
name. When
the
when he's leaving.
Like, no Baby.
He's like, bad Baby, you're bad. Don't squeeze me.
No,
don't squeeze
it again.
Me. Bad Baby. No,
do you like it? We got a real good look at the Anzellin walking around this table too.
For a minute, I thought like the Anzellin was joining the crew, like he wasn't going to get out, and I was like, "This is great."
I thought so too. Now they have an Anzellin and a droid on their crew.
Yeah,
which great, love it.
But then they swapped for Baby, and I was like, "This is better.
This
will do."
But
that'll do, Pig.
Anzellin in the crank suit was going to be the star of Rangers of the New Republic, but
we
saw what happened.
Sure, yeah.
So instead, it's here, happy to have it.
Cara Dune gets a new partner, and it's IG-12. Insanity ensues.
She got shipped off to Special Forces.
Oh, sorry,
so.
And I'm gone.
Okay, where is?
So now it's IG-12, the show.
Right. Written, directed, and starring.
Before we charge on to the end of the episode, let's look at some Easter eggs, most of which have to do with the opening. And these are just, again, I'm
so good.
Really happy that they did some of this because there's so much connection and synergy going on. And for someone like me who's kept up with the books and there's so much connective tissue to mine here between the Aftermath books, this show, and the sequel trilogy, and that they're actually doing it in any small way is...
What a time to be alive.
It's nice.
It's a gift. It's a gift.
Yeah.
Heck of a time.
Heck of a time. It is a gift. A gift to the people who love Aftermath. So the Shadow Council appears in the Aftermath book trilogy. And this council was originally conceived by a character named Gallius Rax. Here on the council is Captain Gilad Pelion. And he was a big character in Timothy Zahn's original Heir to the Empire trilogy. He was recanonized for both the book Thrawn Treason, and we heard Thrawn call out to him over the comms in the finale of Rebels. So it would appear that he survived that whole attack, and now we don't know exactly where he is, but he's on this Shadow Council. So for fans of Heir to the Empire, after that trilogy, he was a continuing presence in Legends books for a long time. So welcome to live action, Captain Gilad Pelion, also on this council. And here's a really, really cool bit of connective tissue. Character Brendel Hux.
That was
that.
A
very
little,
nice.
Little bit of casting there. That was nice. Yep.
And just in case you didn't, just in case you don't know who he is, I'm going to tell you. He is also introduced in the Aftermath book trilogy, and now he's appearing in the flesh. He is the father of General Armitage Hux from the sequel trilogy. Armitage is the result of Brendel, his father, sleeping with a servant. I believe she worked in the kitchen. So Armitage Hux was raised as a bastard and heavily, heavily mistreated by Brendel, his father. When Armitage Hux is old enough, well, I won't spoil what happens, but you don't see Brendel in the sequel trilogy, do you? So, by my reckoning, Brendel Hux is at this moment in the Unknown Regions, possibly still with Admiral Ray Sloan, who I think we could meet at some point. She's a fascinating character. That would be great. He buckled off into the Unknown Regions with her after the Battle of Jakku, the official end of the original trilogy war. So it would seem that the First Order is already well underway, and we get some good confirmation of that at the end of the episode. A fun casting bit that you've already kind of noted here, Caitlin, is that Armitage Hux was, of course, played by Donald Gleason, son of the brilliant, great,
incredible,
my beloved Brendan Gleason, one of my favorite actors. The young Brendel here is played by another son of Gleason, Donal's brother.
It's all in the family. It's
and
all in
I
the
had
family.
To look that up. It's pronounced, spelled like Brian, but pronounced Breen. So here's years before the One Hux, you have another son of Gleason playing
that's
the father.
Just, that's just wonderful casting. That's just fun.
Which is
yeah.
just.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is. And I couldn't help it because I love Donald Gleason. I am not as familiar with Breen Gleason's work, but please, can we please get Brendan Gleason in a Star Wars?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I feel like that's a necessity at this point to get the trilogy
yeah.
within the confines yeah. of Star Wars. Yes. We need it.
We need all three. We're going to, when it comes to the family Gleason, I'm going to need all of them.
You got
to
collect them all.
All of them.
All of them.
Yeah. All of them.
All of them. So anyway, back to the episode. We get a big, stupid Star Wars monster. One of the biggest we've ever had on this show.
Big boy.
Where's a big, big boy wakes up on the surface and destroys Matt's beloved vacation retirement plan.
Like, what?
Let it out, Matt Romano.
I'm
I know
sorry.
You're upset.
Listen, I know we try to keep things positive on this show, and I always will.
But this.
Star Wars has a stupid monster problem. Okay?
Look,
a stupid Star Wars monster problem.
I am a supporter of all big, stupid Star Wars monsters.
Yes.
I cannot support this big, stupid Star Wars
yes.
monster. This is
yeah.
a stupid... Big stupid Star
this
Wars.
This is a stupid, big, stupid Star Wars monster. And, yeah. and like the only thing that could save this, honestly, is if this is a clone from Moff Gideon's, like, you know, trunk of horrors or something. Like
trunk of horrors.
You know, it's like a Zillow beast. Like they clone the big crazy monster and they put him there so we can fight the mythosaur. Like, cause you know that's coming, a big kaiju battle in the beginning.
I mean, like, we all know that that's what the armorer is going for here. She's you know, eliminating the competition here on the surface. She's going back up to the top. She's
exactly.
still thinking about the mythosaur.
I don't know. Like, it just seems like a Chekhov's stupid Star Wars monster here.
Mm.
Like maybe it's going to fight the mythosaur. That will save it. But if it doesn't, if this thing doesn't fight the mythosaur, I'm going to be pissed because it's just an easy way to get out of the scene.
That's
it's just
true.
Like they constantly use Star Wars monsters to eat up time or move the story in a different direction. And like this one just felt like
it felt convenient.
Very convenient. These guys have been on this boat, this beautiful, gigantic, beautiful boat, you know, for as long as they could, you know, surviving. And then they get knocked out by this dinosaur, like, that comes through a mountain. They should know it's there.
Have really cool... It was almost
devolving into chaos, Matt Romano.
It was almost like a Godzilla.
It was kind of a Godzilla.
It was a little, yeah.
Matt Romano, if I may, I have to say, with the highest respect...
Please, I understand.
I completely disagree with you on this.
Good. That's what controversy makes good.
I think
that's
your
what this podcast is about is disagreement. Yeah.
I think your personal feelings about the Raggedy Pirate ship are getting in the way, for one thing.
You think so?
Yes. I think that's the only thing that's fair.
That might be a fair assessment.
That's fair, because I thought that thing was going to blow up a Death Star,
I think
honestly.
This giant sleeping motherfucker destroyed your precious pirate boat, and that's why you're pissed.
Chekhov
is not involved. Chekhov is not writing the story.
But I do believe that I feel like this monster's out there and he's got to fight the mythosaur. Something's got to fight the mythosaur.
Something
bat
does
baby
have
birds.
I don't think so. I think you
already.
Now I want the bat baby birds to fight.
I got them later.
They're on
later
the ship.
In the notes,
good.
Caitlin. Don't get me.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I have not forgotten. I think, you know, you go to Tatooine and you got a crate dragon popping up. That's not a part. They just, monsters are, you have the Mudhorn on Arvala. They're just there. I think this is, they said there are creatures slumbering and everything else. Be careful that they bomb the crap out of this place. Toxic happens. It just, a giant monster started sleeping there. It's a galaxy far, far away. Who knows what's in the damn air? Who knows what's in the soil?
I mean,
the thing pops up, it exists. Deal with it. That's part of it. I don't think.
No, I'm dealing with it.
I don't think you are. I don't think you're dealing with it at all. I think you need a therapist appointment.
They're losing their ability to, like, I don't know.
No,
like, I don't remember what that thing looks like.
It's just
like,
I don't know what its name is. Finally, like, go negative.
I'm going negative on the monsters. There's too many monsters in Star Wars.
And you're just. This is where we finally turn toxic. Yeah.
This is it.
Is over
it.
This? Caitlin just left. You know,
Caitlin left. Caitlin walked away from a microphone.
Once again, I get to say this is the worst episode we've ever done.
moving on. We'll talk about we'll pick this up. We'll put a space pin in it. We'll come back to this.
I think we're all looking forward to that. I think it's much simpler and completely harmless. So I think you're upset about the ship anyway. So the Mandos get out and they go to the caves that are leading to the forge, and they are attacked by Gideon's fancy new troopers, and mayhem ensues. We got Mandos busting out, Children of the Watch and the Night Owls all fighting together. Matt Romano, surely you like this.
Oh, I love this. I mean, listen, whatever you need to do to advance the story to get to this moment, because this was amazing. And seeing all these like stormtrooper Mandos come in that have a little bit of a First Order look to them. Also, the original Boba Fett helmet, which was originally conceived, I think, as a stormtrooper helmet.
Well, it's the design of the Imperial Super Commando design is what Boba Fett originally was. And Rebels used that design for Imperial Mandalorians. When we go there on Rebels, it was you're right. I thought the same thing. It is reminiscent of that design. And if anything, these are more Mando Imperial Super Commandos than anything else.
These are Mando Super Commando First Order.
It's like
troopers. Like it's crazy.
Moff's,
I don't know.
Moff's bunch of jerks.
Well, and going to what you were saying before, how Moff's taking from all these cultures. It's like it really is a configuration of different designs, different cultures, different eras of Star Wars, and look very cool.
A bastardization of all of these things to try and build something that he's really proud of. And everyone's like, yay. Also, Ragnar, yay.
Yay, Ragnar.
At one point here, Axe decides he's got to get, you know, to the fleet and tell them what's happening here. I love that there's a hole in the tunnel.
Yes.
Paz covers him. He's like, I'll cover you, and covers him as he flies up out of here. And based on, like, 10 minutes ago, they were dueling on the boat. I'm like, this is cool. This is some progression here. Caitlin and Bush.
Yeah.
No, it's absolutely wonderful. And as soon as we saw that character growth, as soon as we saw that sacrifice, I think we all kind of knew something bad was coming there.
Oh, yeah. I don't, surely not. Ain't nothing bad gonna happen today.
I was surprised.
Really? My God. No, I didn't see it coming as soon as he changed his stripes a little bit, as soon as he suddenly made like a sacrifice and like learned as a person, I was like, this character has undergrown this technically side character has undergone too much personal growth in the last few episodes for him to not suffer for that.
The good news is you've completed your journey. The bad news is you're dead.
You're dead.
But we're not there yet. Hey, he could be alive. We don't know. We know. So, okay. Well, yeah, I agree. I started to get a weird feeling there. And he just, every time he said, no, go on. It's okay. I'll cover you. I'm like, you're really being selfless and really cool, and I've grown to be in love with you.
I've grown to really, really like you, and this is a
problem. I'm in love
with
this compulsively helmeted Friar Tuck-looking motherfucker, and I'm like...
We did him a little dirty earlier in the season. Oh, now, like, he was this great guy.
You think?
Yeah,
we roasted the crap out of him a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
And
he was worth the likes.
We continue to roast the hell out of his son, who it bears repeating as a kid.
Well.
In this episode,
don't touch Vivian Lyra Blair, but Ragnar, son of Paz Vizsla, open season.
I've got thoughts about his son, but I'll save them for later.
Okay, well, once again, I look forward to it. And not the actor who plays Ragnar, the character Ragnar.
No, the actor is fantastic. It's never about the actor.
It's never about the actor. They make it down to the forge proper, but surprise, it is actually a deeply hidden Imperial base. The Mandos are trapped. And here's my question. Did the surviving Mandos lead them here on purpose? Are they traitors? Are they kind of the spies of the title? Or
No. I think their intentions are true. I think that they're just destitute and terrified, and they see Bo-Katan, and there's no indication up until that point that something has gone wrong. I think just they were hiding very, very well under the depths of the planet.
I watched it this morning, I was under the impression, oh, they betrayed them. But then when I watched just that scene before we got in recording, there's nothing in there that, that points to that.
No.
So they don't say it.
I think they're just hapless true believers who get sucked into it, and
yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
We'll find out who the spies are. I mean, it's obviously the Shadow Council. There's the armor. There's a lot of other potential candidates. Spies everywhere.
Yeah.
But for the moment, these guys are cool. So Din Djarin is outside of this trap. He's in front of it, and he is overwhelmed, and he throws everything at these troopers.
Dude.
His grapple, his flamethrower. But it's there's too many of them.
I thought they were going to kill him. I honestly thought he was going to die for a second. I was
introducing Bo-Katan as the Mandalorian.
Exactly. I thought it was going to be like the craziest like twist in like, I don't know, Star Wars history.
I mean, we did just watch Succession this weekend.
Spoiler klaxon for that. Well, we didn't say anything. You didn't say anything.
I didn't
see it. Oh, yeah, there's no spoiler alert. No.
Spoiler klaxon and a boar on the floor. No, but and as if this isn't, it was hard seeing Mando go down. And he goes down. He did not go gentle
hard
into that good capture.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it was not good.
That's a terrible phrase I just said. To make all of this worse, Gideon rockets in his suit, which now comes with a helmet. Matt Romano, you'll be happy because there'll be a Black Series figure of this in two shakes.
Well, and dare I say it is hot, hot, hot.
I mean, he's it's a cool-looking
suit. There.
It is, yeah. And you could tell he's really proud of it.
Oh my God, the swag! Like it just like oozes swagger, like real douchebag stuff. Yeah,
I sewed the cape myself. Yeah. Look at my patches.
Yes. Oh my God.
And he thanks Din Djarin for getting all of these Mandos together.
Thank you for gathering the Mandalorians into one place.
He then introduces, he's like, check out my new dark trooper suits. And he says it's the best of the cloners, the Jedi, and even the Mandalorians. The useless Mandalorians had something to add because it's Beskar. We already touched a little on his disdain of their culture. He's like, but this I'll take. Thanks, everyone.
Rude.
And what he's going to do is take everything from cloners, Jedi, Mandalorians, and use it all to build some new empire. And he's delusional enough to think that he's, you know, he's certainly bitchy enough to be in charge, but there are a lot of other players on the board right now.
One particular player that we were touching on earlier.
Yes. Mm. It's true. And I've seen his cape and his art, and I am not impressed.
Mm.
What really puts it over the top is he says, and something along the lines of, you know what makes this really great? I'm wearing it.
I make this look good.
Moff Gideon, he's planning to destroy the entire Mando fleet, and he orders Bo-Katan to surrender the Darksaber, but not this time. She's definitely not going to fall for that again. She gets to work cutting a hole in the back of this trap. Gideon has the front opened so he can gun them all down. By the way, he's had Din taken off, probably for torturing. And what do we think the under-over is in terms of likelihood that is part of Din Djarin's torture in the season finale, that it's going to involve having that helmet ripped right off his head?
Oh, that's it. I was going to say it. I mean, this is Pedro has his contract. He's like, I'm going to show up for like one episode.
For like one episode.
And it's going to be the last episode.
I'm truly shocked. I'm shocked that I was literally expecting them to rip the helmet off of him in this episode.
I thought
Moff Gideon was going to approach him.
Yeah.
And as the ultimate sign of disrespect, yank the helmet off of his head.
Yep. It's going to mean a lot when his helmet comes off, especially in like a torture scene. Come on.
In this way, in the ways we've seen the helmet removed before, this is a new kind of way. And this is going to be an awful way. And I think
huge buildup.
But you know what I think it could lead to when you think of taking the Bo-Katan of it all and his loyalty to her and her also being of two worlds and helmetless? I think this could lead to the Caitlin Embush dream of everyone taking the damn helmets off.
Yeah. Everyone taking the damn helmet. I'm realizing that, and it goes back to the conversation that him and Bo-Katan have very shortly about, you know, I was raised to think that all of the other Mandalorians had forgotten the way.
Yeah.
And there is maybe this realization that there are other ways to interpret what it means to follow the way. And it's okay to widen your horizons.
This is the way. Mm. This is not necessarily the only way.
The only way. Yeah. Yes.
Well, they get a little like a I am Spartacus.
Well,
moment,
we say, yeah, we are all the bad. We are all the bad batch.
Yes.
No, it's also if the armor turns dirty on them, that's absolutely going to it's like, OK, our first rule is helmet rule broken. Everybody take them off and eat some food in front of each other. No more blenders and straws.
Exactly. Okay,
so unfortunately here also they take Mando off. Moff Gideon just rockets away and says, open the doors, kill them all. The Mandos start escaping through the back door. Bo-Katan is ushering them out. We don't really see it, but Baby gets out. Baby Krang gets out through the back. Paz, Bo-Katan is now shouting to Paz Vizsla. We thought they were going to be at odds, but now she's like, come on, come on. And I'm thinking, how is he going to get through that tiny hole? Send the shepherd's daughter to the vicar. And then he turns to, he's like, no, I'll cover you. There's too many of them. And
he closes the blast doors.
Yeah, and he gives the line.
Go. There are too many.
No.
This is the way.
And that's when I think we knew. But here's what happens. He goes absolutely berserk on these troopers. He is blasting them so much that his giant Gatlin blaster burns red hot until it can't fire anymore. So then he starts beating them with this molten metal blaster. And then he's using his fists. He's beating them. He's throwing them down holes. And he does win. He beats these new dark troopers.
Badass.
And he's just standing there kind of huffing and puffing. And then the promised backup to Moff Gideon walks in, because who comes in? Three Praetorian guards, a familiar variation on Snoke's Praetorian guards from The Last Jedi, and these three cause the unexpected emotional death of Paz Vizsla. He does the best he can. He's tired. He just has a vibro knife and a plasma buckler, and he does as best he can. But as we know from Last Jedi, I mean, Kylo and Rey combined had a problem with these guys.
Yeah.
So it's over
and,
quickly.
And from this logic too, obviously we see it cut through his Beskar armor. We've seen these weapons that they have do battle with lightsabers. Realistically, I think we will definitely be seeing Bo-Katan doing battle with these Praetorian guards, with them going head to head with their weapons, with the Darksaber.
I agree. And I love that this kind of sequel trilogy thing is in the mix now. Openly in the mix. Absolutely love it. So who knows what's going to happen? As a huge fan, I don't care what anyone says, as a huge fan of the sequel trilogy, as a big fan of The Last Jedi, and especially the scene these characters star.
You know that I love The Last Jedi, so seeing these guys in action oh my God, yes.
Now I think the door is potentially open to, and we already know Andy Serkis has been in one Star Wars series. Yeah. I could see them full on bringing Snoke. At some point.
Wow. That's crazy.
Because at one point we know Luke Skywalker has a battle with Snoke, which is why he has one of those big scars on his head.
That's crazy.
We could see that very well see that in live action. If they're going to go really big and do, you know, once he takes care of Thrawn,
Brian, you're getting nuts. Yeah. You're getting nuts, seeing, Brian.
But it's not off the table. We have Ahsoka, we have Rey, we have more and more of the Jedi Order. There's nothing to say that within the series that we are seeing with Ahsoka, in the movies that we are seeing with Rey, that there will not be more flashbacks to Luke's attempts to rebuild the Jedi Order, that we will not get flashbacks to a young Snoke. There are so many possibilities. Oh my God.
Synergy is making me dizzy. I'm going to pass out again.
The vast amount of Revnog. Yes. That was the end. But the main difference in the credits this time is Tate Fletcher, who's the man inside Paz Vizsla, the man who plays Paz Vizsla, was billed right under Emily Swallow for the first time.
Very good.
Gorgeous.
So that was a nice change. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure I know about you both. One specific beast aside, my reaction to this episode, as I already said, but just to reiterate, yes. was this.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're left hanging with the with so much that we already talked about, the promise of a space battle, Grogu possibly having to be the one to rescue Dad this time a little bit, yep. instead of going to help to going to get Bo-Katan to come back and help Dad. He's in this suit. He's going to get to work himself. Let's not forget the Mythosaur in the room, which Matt's already touched on. Surely that's going to make an appearance. We now know why they needed a big force and multiple ships to take this planet, and it sounds like it's going to be harder than that. Matt, we saw TIE interceptors and unfolding and how they were hanging in the hangar.
Yeah.
We also saw TIE bombers ready to go.
Yeah.
Moff Gideon must like those TIE bombers. He loves himself.
Oh, he really sure does.
He's not happy unless he's planning some kind of purge.
Well, he feels like a guy that has to have the complete set.
You know,
he's got to have all of them.
Yeah.
Even if just a few.
He's a collector.
We're running out of time, but just to touch on the bit with the armor and Death Watch. When she says Death Watch splintered after they were on Concordia, if we remember in the Clone Wars, the Night Owls, including Bo-Katan, broke away from Death Watch, who were pretty much being run by Maul. Many Death Watch members supported Maul. So as we've suspected for a long time, the armor, I'm still banging this drum, could be one of those folk.
I'm still on this train with you, Brian.
Maul DeLoreans.
Yeah.
And possibly, Caitlin and Bush, let me see if you agree with this, someone that Bo already knows but doesn't realize it because of ye old helmet rule. Could be someone like Rook Cast or someone completely new. We don't know.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yes.
Yeah. That's why it's like she knows exactly
who
Bo-Katan
is. Such an ultimate betrayal to have her all of a sudden. We see the growing trust between them as leaders, as women who are leaders within their own factions, and then to have that double betrayal of this new relationship being screwed over, and then if it were to come across that she had already known her, wow!
Can you imagine if it was? It turns out it's a clone of Satine.
Stop it right there.
No, Matt's the one with the
even
weird
clone. Even I'm like, no way.
Matt's the one with the weird clone, Brian. You can't be on this too. Only one person in this trio of insanity is allowed to be a clone person. Yeah.
They just run it through the dark saber a second time after 5 minutes.
Yeah, a little too much.
Now, all I have written here, and this is a bullet pointed note, is Moff Gideon is such an asshole.
Yeah,
that's the whole note. That's another take in the vein of the Empire sucks.
But like, we love it. We love to see him be an asshole. He's such a good villain.
I would like to see more of that.
Absolutely. Matt Romano, you mentioned Ragnar before. Ragnar, out for revenge? Thoughts?
Absolutely. I hate to say it, but Ragnar seems like, now that we know about the Rey movie, he's like a generational character. I feel like he's going to be around forever.
You know what?
Yeah.
I should have seen that coming.
You totally should have seen it coming. Like, he's going to be showing up with Grogu in the Rey movie, and he's going to be played by like some hot mother effer. I don't know.
Timothy Chalamet.
Absolutely.
What is this episode? Honestly, what senses at the ready? What the fuck is happening?
Here comes Henry Styles as Ragnar.
Oh, no. Harry Styles.
At least you got the name wrong. So there's
what
that.
What's his name?
Harry Styles and Emily Ratajkowski. When their powers combine, they are Ragnar, beloved Star Wars character, coming to theaters 2026. And it will be...
Caitlin fell out of view. I think she's still there, but she's not in the video.
Caitlin's really upset you got that name wrong.
I'm on the floor right now.
You already mentioned it, but Bat Baby Birds, are they still in the mix? I want to get nuts. I want to see them in the finale, and I'd love
to. Yes, I think they're on the ship. I think they're going to there's a stormtrooper that's going to accidentally fall upon a button. That's going to open up the doors
similar to the Rathars and Force Awakens, maybe.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
There you go.
Or they're going to have grown their gestation period is so short that they've become teenagers at this point, and so therefore they can do battle.
Bat baby teens?
Yes.
Yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Minden.
I mean, we've already got Krang, so. Yeah.
There we go.
What is Teenage Mutant Ninja Batbirds?
Oh, yeah. Man. This really is getting nuts.
Let's get nuts.
Let's get nuts. Let's get nuts, nuts. Brian.
Green, not that easy being it's.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay. So, also, I mean, just to cap this off, might Boba Fett fly in? Famu Yiwa mentioned at Celebration how both Mando and Book of Boba Fett are going to have everything so far pay off in these last two episodes. We've seen one of them. There's one more left. So, I wonder what he's talking about. Could not necessarily be Boba himself, but it could be something. Curious.
Listen, I feel like he said that, like, he promised the answers for Book of Boba Fett. I have a lot of questions about Book of Boba Fett. I can't imagine we're going to answer, we're going to close those stories.
Well, the book's still open.
The book better be open.
The book is open.
Okay.
Yeah. And you had texted me, you're like, does this mean he's like, season three is the last season? Like, no. There's going to be a season four.
Of Mandalorian, yeah, not Book of Boba Fett, I mean, guaranteed.
I had heard a while ago that there was going to be a second season of Book of Boba Fett, but I think whatever they're going to do there, it's going to carry over into one of these other shows.
I need more Mos Espa stories. I need to know how, like...
You're saying you want that, but then we have that, and you're like, there's too much Tatooine. We go away for like half an episode, you're like, not enough Tatooine.
How dare you, sir?
The mother,
no.
It's the daughter, it's the
how
mother, it's the daughter.
You.
How Sister, dare you? I screwed that up. Oh, well.
But anyway, they're going to wrap up the Boba Fett story here in Mando. Sure, that's fine. So I think, like, actually, my crazy thought, my hot take,
ooh,
if you will.
Are we sounding the hot take alarm? Is that what?
Yeah, let's sound it. Why not? Why
it's
not?
Getting a workout today.
I think we might have, like, maybe a time jump or at least a montage of Grogu, like, recruiting everybody, you know? Because I feel like he's got to run the Tatooine, get Boba Fett. He's got to run to wherever Luke is, get Luke, get Ahsoka. Like, he's got to get the Justice League together.
He's got to get the gang back together.
Yeah.
You got to save Mando. Mando has saved all of these people. He's helped everyone. And now finally Mando is in trouble.
Because if Grogu himself goes, like, uses R5 to call Pelimoto.
Yes.
Pelimoto
can call everybody.
No, Pelimoto calls Carson Tava.
So let's do it.
Calls Fennec Shand, who gets Boba Fett, and they all
get
fly
the gang
in.
Together.
Puts together an Ocean's 11 verse of Star Wars.
Kalen and Bush, there you go.
Yes.
Let's Ocean 11's this.
Ocean's 11.
And get everybody together.
I can't believe you weren't a little more impressed with my how do they get that communique out there. It's through R5. He's there.
No.
I am very behind that. R5 should be calling everybody based on his ability to do
that. And because he's a hero of the Resistance, which I know you love.
Sure.
Absolutely.
The Rebellion, not the Resistance.
Oh, yeah,
right. Yet.
That's what I meant. Okay, funny final thought. I think we've really beaten it into the ground.
We've beaten the dead horse, yeah.
With that, we're going to go to break and possibly a sanitarium, but we're fine. We're all fine here now, thank you. Don't turn us off.
Hey, Brian.
What?
Just saying hey.
All right.
While I have your ear, have you checked out returnofpod.store recently?
No.
Well, you should. There are a number of fine new items for sale.
Is this a commercial?
It is a commercial. Merchandising.
Merchandising.
Merchandising! Merchandising!
Do you like our different artwork based off of which show we're covering each season? If you visit the store, you can buy mugs and other wonderful things with that artwork. Bad Batch, Boba Fett, Obi-Wan, collect them all.
I don't want to.
Yes, you do. Don't forget about t-shirts and hoodies. We're adding new versions all the time. Want to really get the mini boats message out? ReturnToThePod.store is here for you.
I wish Poison was here for me.
The store doesn't sell that, but it does have notepads, stickers, and everything else I've already talked about.
Is this over?
Visit ReturnToThePod.store today. Get caught up in it.
This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Return of the Pod, a podcast about Star Wars. May the Force be with you. And as always,
many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats, y'all.
Many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats.
We're back, and that's going to take us into real talk.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
On Apple Podcasts, a big hello and thank you to Erzatz Elevator for your review and your very, very kind words. On Twitter, a big thank you to Matt Schmidt, who likened the feeling of celebration to the feeling of our show. And what a compliment that is.
That I mean, I didn't get a chance to respond to that on social media, but like that's a great message and I appreciate it.
I know what celebration does for me. So if we do that with our, probably not this episode, but other episodes of the podcast, I mean.
We say that every episode. I will say every single episode that we do together, gentlemen, is a Star Wars celebration with the both of you. So thank you.
Yes.
Ultimately, the three of us having fun.
The three of us are having a great time.
And I still love that Star Wars monster, okay? Oh, it was still cool, okay? But, like...
It's over. Save it.
Just every episode, okay?
Please.
The Star Wars monster.
The love of God, please.
I'm celebrating it.
The force alive. For the love of Captain Benjamin Lafayette Sisko.
I saw something in here about... It's just... Brian, I saw something in here about a font watch.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. Welcome back to Font Watch.
Yes.
The Twitter account Star Wars Fonts. We had a little engagement. You like how I'm saying that? We had a little social media engagement. You like anyway, we engaged with them this week, and they confirmed that the subtitle font in last week's episode did, in fact, change. They detailed what the new font is. They didn't really know why, but... They used the word baffled, and then they said, they changed things. So that was, we already knew it changed, and now we got Star Wars fonts to confirm, yes, it changed.
Yeah, great.
So all things considered, this has been Font Watch. And Matt, I know you told me to cut this particular bit of Real Talk, but I'm going to do it anyway. On Twitter, I ran another one of my KFC famous polls. That's right. You had to pick a couple, and the choices were Bo-Katan Din Djarin, Mon Cal Prince and Quarren Captain, Jack Black and Lizzo, or Hellgate and Count Dooku.
Okay.
With 173 votes, which I think might be an all-time high for a KFC famous poll, the ship known as Dinbo, Bo-Katan and Din Djarin, won with 47% of the vote.
Boo.
Wow.
Caitlin and Bush, who would you have wanted to see win here?
Jack Black and Lizzo.
Okay.
Wow.
Matt Romano.
Really?
I would with the Mon Cal and
that's
and
where I thought Caitlin was gonna go.
Yeah, yeah. And what's her face? What was her
Quarren
Captain?
Quarren
was the captain of the pirate ship. I will always be on both Lizzo and Jack Black's side, no matter what the consequences are.
He's like an evil...
Was it still weird to me that the two of them were in Star Wars, and do we think that Jack Black is evil? Absolutely. Do I believe in their love? Also, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I was really hoping for Christopher Lloyd, Count Dooku, to pull out ahead. They were never even in it. But
nobody took that seriously because they're both dead now. Or at least,
Hellgate's not dead.
Well, he's electrocuted.
I really do appreciate your optimism, though.
Yeah. Brian. No, he's in love with a ghost. Cool. It's like he's in love with
Who
the idea
of
Count
Dooku. Who has
not
fallen in love with a ghost at some point in their lives? Let's be honest.
I have.
It's a common human experience.
I have too many references. My mind is going to explode. Okay. There's too many science fiction
in
references.
In general, a big thank you to all of our listeners who followed along with us in the never-ending stream of reveals and just panels and everything for 4 days of Star Wars celebration during the live stream and everything else.
Yeah, this was fun. This was fun.
It really made it even more fun than it ever has been before.
I don't need to go to Celebration because I think actually I'd rather avoid the crowds, just like hang out and
they
talk
do
about
such
it on
a
Twitter,
good job you know? With the live stream. It's I don't know what I mean. There's a lot you don't see, but it's also you're fighting to get into some of those. You're not going to get into all of those rooms,
right?
And but it's all right there. And I wasn't going to go into this, but I gotta say, Christina Ariel, Anthony Carboni, Kristen Baver, and Amy Ratcliffe. They are such great hosts.
Yeah, they did a great job. Absolutely.
Their interviewing skills are amazing. And I mean, and that is a skill unto itself in recent
A live interviewing situation truly is. And Brian and Matt and I all know this, having experienced similar things in the past. We know how difficult that can be. That truly is like a muscle that you have to work at all the time.
Mm-hmm. It really looks easy, especially when you're good at it. And you two are, I've seen you both. You're very, very good at it.
You as well.
The last few weeks have shown me, especially when you're back in person. Wow, you're bad at this. And you're so bad at this. So to see them like just nailing it, just flawlessly, even when Billy Dee Williams would not answer any questions really and started talking about a madam and stuff like that.
I missed that.
Bless
one.
Him. Bless him, Billy Dee.
Incredible.
What?
They were able to handle it and just go with it. And of course the Anthony Daniels, Anthony Carboni rivalry is now just always a
legendary,
necessary part of celebration. But with all of that, we're going to mercifully stick a Darksaber in this episode. But join us again next week for the season 3 finale of The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
Is it over already?
It is.
This is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a crackerjack time, wasn't it?
What a journey.
Oh, it was a great journey. It was a great, you know.
What a time.
What a time to be alive.
Hell of a time. Heck of a time.
Heck of a time.
In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Return of the Pod. You can find our website at returnofthepod.net, where you can leave voicemails and messages. You can visit returnofthepod.store. We can buy all kinds of merchandising.
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 Merchandising. Merchandising.
Not yet Yoda Baby Krangs, but maybe sometime soon.
Working on it.
You can also support the show at buymeacoffee.com/returnofthepod. And occasionally you can find us directly, Caitlin and Bush, in a Blue Moon. Once in a while, you can be found where?
Blue Moon. Once in a while, you can find me still somehow with a blue check mark on Twitter at Caitlin M. Bush.
Oh, that yeah.
CAITLINM. Bush like the beer and like the presidents.
There's no may or may not be notable about it. Caitlin M. Bush is highly notable. Matt Romano, you can be found where?
I may or may not be notable or paid for this notable thing.
You nailed it. Nailed it.
At Matt Romano, MattRomano.
And I can be found on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and my ever-growing wonderful letterbox where we're all having so much fun. At Brian Silliman, that's at B-R-I-A-N, S is in Sky Guy, I-L-L-I-M-A-N. Stretch out with your feelings and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. Subscribe, leave a comment, and give 5 stars if you're feeling generous. Snoke 'em if you got 'em, take it, Sheevy. And remember, hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night. Many boats, and be the Spock.